Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we've got a couple of housekeeping reminders here this morning. Since we're still doing our meetings by Zoom, when you wish to speak, please speak up and speak clearly, and go ahead and identify us by giving us your name so that we can get that down for the transcription. When you're not speaking, if you'll please mute your microphone so that we don't get feedback. If you're on the telephone, you can mute and unmute by star six. Star six to unmute and star six again to mute. We'll go ahead and take public comment before, at the beginning of the meeting and after the meeting, towards the end, and then after every actionable item that we have. So any of you who wish to go ahead and make public comment, go ahead and do so, as I explained, by speaking clearly, stating your name, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. With that said, we're going to start off now on item number 3. This is discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for August the 4th of 2020. County Manager Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, one change, and it's just to ask, it just came up, can we move item number 12, that is discussion about the county jail, to right after number 7? The sheriff would like to speak on this, but he won't be available later in the meeting to do so.
All righty.
It would occur right before staff reports.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
All righty. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you move to go ahead and accept today's agenda with the one change of moving item 12 to right after item 7.
Will do. I move to approve today's agenda with the noted adjustments, moving item 12 right before item 7.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action, approval of the minutes for June the 17th of 2020. Are there any public comments regarding those minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you have a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for the June 17th, 2020 meeting.
I'll second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5, discussion for possible action, approval of the minutes for July the 7th of 2020. Are there any public comments regarding those minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'll motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for the July 7th, 2020 meeting.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. Number 6 is today's consent agenda. Are there any public comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, if you'll motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. So now we're at item number 7. We'll open up for public comment. Anyone wishing to make public comment, please go ahead and speak clearly, speak loudly, and identify yourself for the record. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Hearing no public comment, we'll move on to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration of the conditions of the county jail and the numbers of deaths, if any, in the county jail. Sheriff Antonoro.
First, let me thank you for taking this out of order so I can get it done and get hit in the road. This is something that was done in the last legislative session, so that we had to have a biannual meeting on the conditions of the jail and a report concerning any deaths that occur in the jail. Happy to report there have been no deaths in the jail, so that's always good. As far as the conditions of the jail, Commissioner Carmona did an inspection that's required annually by the commissioners. He did that on March 13th and found no deficiencies. The health inspection was done on 7/21, and we scored 100%, no deficiencies found there. One of the other things that we've had going on in the jail is minor repairs here and there, some sewage or water lines, sewer lines needed to be fixed. And then we did install a new walk-in freezer for the storage of inmate food. And the last part of that is underway, and that's to put a cover over the top of it. So that's pretty much it for the conditions of the jail. Nothing on the horizon that is looming, unless you all have any questions.
Well, I don't have any questions, Sheriff, and I've had the opportunity in the past to go ahead and do the jail review myself. So I'll go to Commissioner Carmona. Do you have any questions or comments to make on this item?
Not at this time, Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Jay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments on the jail?
No, sir. I as well have had the opportunity to go through and review the condition of the jail. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Lance. This is a... I don't know what the possible action is on this, but it's listed here in the agenda, so I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding the jail item. Okay, very good. County Manager Osborne, this says for possible action, but it's not asking us to take any action, so it's just a discussion only.
I would suggest discussion only. I think that'd be fine. I'd look to keep and...
Very good. All right. Great. Thank you, Sheriff, for that. And we'll go ahead and we'll move on now.
Thank you, Chairman.
So under item number 8, this is the discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'll start at the with the Sheriff's Office. And I think we have Tony Dosen representing the Sheriff's Office today.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to let everybody know that I've talked with the sheriff and we have a plan in place for the possible protest today at the courthouse at 5 p.m.
All righty. Very good. Thank you, Tony. Over at the Public Works Operations, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing today. I do have a couple of agenda items coming up.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mike. Over at Community Chest in the library, Eric Schoen. Maybe Eric's not with us today. I'll go down my list. I've got a big screen today, and I can't pick everybody out, so I'll go down and ask if Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington, is online today.
Yeah, I don't have any staff reports or anything for today. I'm just here because item number 19.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
County Assessor Janice Seddon. County Recorder Marnie Hansen Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I just have a quick records update for you. We continue to work away on back indexing and releasing document images to our online search. Currently, we're working on the time frame of 1982 to 88. This has been an ongoing project, one that we work on in between daily business. Recording and requests have kept up in current time. So it's been business as usual, but when we have time, we get back to the records project. I will keep you updated as we progress on this. And once we get through 1982 to 1988, we'll work backwards from 82 to 74, complete that time frame, and then from there we'll work back 116 years. And it'll take a bit, but we enjoy getting that information out.
Very good. Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Terrific work. All righty, over at the Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacy York.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stacy York from Records. I just wanted to let everybody know our homemaker and transportation programs are up and running. They started yesterday. We cleaned our first house. So if you have any information or need any information or have any questions to see if you qualify, you can call myself at the center. 847-0957, or Brooke is our program coordinator. You can call her, 686-8532. And that's it.
Very good. Thanks, Stacy. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Stacy?
No questions for Stacy at this time.
All right. Thank you. Good. Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Stacy?
No, sir. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Stacy. Moving along now, Director of IT, James Dean. Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbecki.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. We have concluded doing the patchwork out on Lousetown and are focusing within BC right now and doing some ditch cleanup down in 6 Mile. That's about all I have. You guys have a question?
I don't. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions. Just wanted to thank him and the team for getting out to Lousetown and taking care of that.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions for
you. I'm sorry, did I talk over you, Jason?
Negative.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you. All right. And our labor relations, Jeannie Green.
I'm nothing to report, thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Our Director of HR, Jen Chapman.
Hi there, nothing today.
Okay, thank you, Jen. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning, all. Just a quick update, we're still moving forward on the radio stuff. Sierra Electronics is scheduled to start installing in the vehicles, I believe on the 17th of this month. That'll be a pretty big project there. I think they're looking at doing, I'm not sure what the numbers, I can't recall, but it's going to take them probably a good month to get all the everything built and put into the cars, but they're starting out on the 17th. They're already working on the mountaintops, things are going there. And things are moving good. Inside the bank itself, the old vault has been gutted out, and it's going to be turned into a server room. It's all been laid out what you need to do. It's all blue tape on the floor showing where all the server racks and whatnot are going to go, all the power stuff. And basically, we're waiting now to get the electrician in probably within the next week. The air conditioning unit installed in there, and we're ready to roll. It's moving pretty good.
Terrific.
That's all I got for you.
Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Dave?
Not at this time.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Dave?
No questions.
All right, very good. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Our Tourism Director, Danny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Danny Dotson, Board Director. Just a quick update here on a couple things. We all know that about a week and a half ago, we had to make a tough decision on canceling some rather large events for this fall. Right now, we still have Street Vibrations is still a go. As of yesterday, I talked to Randy Burke. He's still working with Reno, City of Reno. We also have Grand Prix is still a go. And, obviously, a couple of what we'll call cruises versus parade for Labor Day, for Veterans Day. Labor Day has been canceled. as well as Christmas on the Comstock, and we're looking to move, possibly move the fireworks to that event. So more detail to come as we get that. But on a positive note, we do also have some local smaller events that are being we're doing this weekend. One of those is the All-American Craft Fair. This is a gentleman who does handmade crafters, hosts them in certain locations in Northern Nevada, Northern California. He'll be stationed at the Silverland Hotel parking lot, both on Saturday and Sunday. So be kind of our first event, if you will, for a very long time. He's got a very good plan, very comprehensive attention to detail in regards to COVID-19. People are spaced out, only allowing so many people in the venue at a time, one entrance, one exit, and you have to wear a face mask. So we're looking forward to hosting that. And we also are kicking off Pipers. Pipers is going to have a play back. It's the murder at the gin joint, kind of a whodunit type of thing. We have it this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then again next week on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So again, Pipers is, I think, a big piece for us to try and come out of this pandemic, if you will, with the opportunity to put on smaller events that can contribute to the local economy. Not only do we get people, you know, coming to these, but they're also staying the night. We are seeing quite a few people that are doing little mini staycations. They're coming from close, you know, drive markets in Northern California, a lot of people from Reno, talking to many hoteliers. Preliminary numbers are not great, but they're not as bad as we forecasted. So we're seeing some of this stuff come, and I think what Piper's doing, all the local game nights, we're also doing line dancing on certain nights during the month, and they got a couple other little things like a mixology class they're going to be doing, and possibly some like yoga or dancing, additional dance lessons. So just some things that to add in a little bit of events that we can do and stay compliant with the current guidelines. With that, it all dovetails into our everyone's a local campaign. We've shifted all of our dollars, marketing dollars, towards really just driving that staycation, that local person to come and just spend a day or two here in Virginia City and explore outside of, you know, being able to do special events. So it all kind of dovetailing together, and we're seeing, you know, we're just seeing a little bit of that just starting to unfold. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, if you'll allow me, I would like to introduce a new person on the Comstock. We all know that Laura is now working with the Story County, but about 3 weeks ago, we, as a board member, sent out a search. We had a great group of candidates, but we were lucky enough to work in agreement with Nora Stifu. Nora is on today, and if you'll allow me again, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce her so you can all put a name with the face.
You bet. Yeah, go right ahead, Denny. Thank you. Hi, Nora.
Look, hello, Mr. Chairman and the commissioners. I'm very glad to be here. I'm going to be daily at the office from 10 to 5. Anybody needs to contact me. I'm honored to be at this magnificent building and try to take care of it. Unfortunately, we are closed for the next few months until further notice, but we are doing a few things to keep the building in check. We are installing at this point as we speak our security cameras for next season, and renovating it, you know, the museum, and also we are thinking in progress of programming with virtual through the website and having a little more virtual reality into our museum for people to connect with us from the outside, even if we're closed. So, like I said, I'm very honored to be here, and thank you for your time.
Very good. Welcome aboard. All righty. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Denny or for Nora?
No questions. Just wanted to echo the welcome to Story County. Look forward to working with you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
My congratulations as well. Welcome aboard. I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun down there.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Denny. Thank you, Nora. Okay, over at Community Relations and Emergency Management, Laura Mather.
Good Joe here. Laura has nothing at this time, and she will be presenting at a couple of things she has on the agenda.
Okay.
So, from my standpoint, there's some quick things I want to run through with you, just so you're aware. The Quad County, you know, as we're part of the Fort County area, as of this time, has had a total of 718 cases. They're all primarily in Carson City, 300 of them. Douglas is up to 181 and Lyons at 210. And we're still at four. We have four cases. We have two recoveries and two active cases. On a Northern Nevada basis, the data in our area and within the Quad County continues to suggest that there's a somewhat of a slowing of growth rates relating to new cases and hospitalizations. We can really see there was really quite a jump that had to do with the 4th of July, that about 2 weeks later you start to see that jump, and that's where some of those statistics and jumps in the statistics are coming from. There are some anomalies that are in the statistics too that we've identified, and that the Quad County Health and Carson City Health and Human Services is trying to address at this time. But what's happening is that they're getting a little bit inflated some with the testing situation due to people being tested multiple times. So these test centers, you can actually go and test as many times as you want. And we also have what happens is when you test positive, you can't go back to work or into your isolation factor until you receive a negative test. And so those people are receiving tests as well to make sure that they, at some point, they will have a negative test. So they may test two, three, or more times before they get a negative test. So those statistics are tending to show some anomalies in some of the statistics that are being identified out there. Our next community testing site, which we have to do, as a reminder, we have to do two times a month, and we're switching it around to the different parts of the county, Mark Twain, Lockwood, Virginia City, and the Highlands. Our next testing site will be August 11th, and will be at the Mark Twain Community Center on Sam Clements. It will be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and we invite all people, it can be county residents, or they can be from any one of the other three counties, Carson, Douglas, or Lyon. So they can all test, and it's for non-symptomatic people. So if you have no symptoms, you're certainly welcome to come through. Again, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Mark Twain Community Center. The next one after that for August will be on the 24th at the Lockwood Senior Center. Again, that will be from 8 a.m. 11 a.m. Excuse me, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It's the 24th. 28th, excuse me. I looked at the wrong schedule. It was a mistake on the schedule. It's August 28th at Lockwood Senior Center. August 28th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Reminder that these testing centers, we have to continue these things for the next 30 months. Or so. So every month we're going to be doing two of these sessions in different parts of the county. And it takes a significant amount of time to plan up for these things. We've had to involve a lot of cost in setting up to be able to set these centers up and to assist with other counties sometimes as well. So when we set these things up, we have to start planning the day before to get them together. So it takes a minimum of 7 to 10 county staff and volunteers to put the test centers together, along with staffers from the Carson City Health and Human Services. They provide nurses and testing specialists. So we've had good involvement with participation with the Jeep Posse, who has been providing us with 3 or 4 volunteers to assist with each center and help us with the traffic control and so forth, because we actually do have some traffic problems. The last site we did which was out at the Highlands. We tested 80 people on that site, and that was one of the strongest ones that we've had. Usually we average in that 70 to 80 to 90 or 100 people at a test center. So, we always help with the Chief Ponzi has been extremely helpful to us. We couldn't do it without the extra people that they provide us with. So I just want to continue to emphasize, the need for masks when we're out in public, in our local businesses, hand sanitation, public and business restrooms, cleanliness. We realize that it's an individual decision, but we need to really encourage it as county officials and so forth, and try to get people to cooperate with that. Being a tourist community, there's a lot of little things that we can do that sometimes we don't think of on our businesses and even county facilities. Things simple like wiping down the doorknobs, various areas of stores or businesses or offices that are handled a lot, like countertops and so forth. Any computers that the public uses and that sort of thing should be wiped down regularly. It's going to take an effort for all of us, to continue to beat this thing. And at this time, Story County is doing a pretty darn good job of it. And it's everybody's involvement and participation that allows us to do this. So we really ask that you keep up with the thing. I'm not going to address the emergency management aspects and the COVID aspects of what the governor's last discussion items were. And the content of AB4, as it primarily relates to Clark County area and some of the Washoe County area. But there are a lot of things within that bill and within the requirements that they're making of these larger business areas that are good general discussion and a suggestion that we can make use of within our own community. So we'll continue to look at those kinds of things. We are looking at the opportunity to maybe put some more of these hand sanitation stations. Excuse me, hand sanitation stations. Say that 10 times fast. And doing the community, we're getting good response from them, and so we're putting out maybe another dozen throughout the county and places that the people could actually use. So with that, that's about all I have that I need to report to you today. If anyone has any questions.
Yeah, Joe, setting up these testing sites around the county for asymptomatic residents is a good idea, but maybe you could explain what a resident who maybe is experiencing some symptoms. What is the procedure and the process for them to be tested? Where do they go to be tested?
You said those that have some sort of symptoms?
Yes.
Thank you, Marshall. Good question. If you should have any kind of symptoms at all and that relate to the COVID thing, and you can look up the specific symptoms, and it generally has to do with coughs, persistent coughs, difficulty breathing, it's a lung-oriented situation, a bronchial manner to a great degree. Sneezing is not generally considered a symptom of it. But should you have some of these symptoms and you have a concern that maybe you could possibly have it, there's a number of things that you could do. One, you can get on a number of locations, including our county website, and it will tell you the phone number or the call center for the Quad County area to call and ask the various questions that you need. The call center hotline is 775-283-4789. And as they say on TV, there are operators standing by. Actually, that call center has a rather large staff in there to take that call and give you direction as to where you can go for testing, what your options are if you think you possibly have contracted the COVID virus. So that would be our county website. You can get on what's called you can get on the website for Carson Now, or Keep Carson Healthy. And there's also on there, again, I'll give you that phone number, and it's on our county website, but it's 775-283-4789. And those with symptoms will be directed to the appropriate locations.
Very good. Thanks, Joe. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
Not at this time, Chairman.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
No, just thank you for all the hard work, Joe. I know you're inundated so much, and it's going to go on for some time. Thank you for all your efforts.
But you're welcome. You're welcome, Mr. Gilman. Thank you very much. We it is a big project, and it involves a lot of volunteers. It involves a lot of equipment and so forth, and the county has backed us up in the emergency management aspect and helped us with things that we do, and the county, from a volunteer standpoint, has offered their assistance. So it's not just government, it's volunteers within the community as well. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Joe. I see that Eric Schoen has joined us from the community chest and library.
Yes, Commissioner McBride, I apologize for being delayed. I had another meeting and jumped out of this one here, so good to see everybody. I'm sorry I missed Joe's update. I would have liked to have heard that, but I'm not going to ask you to repeat that, Joe. Basically, the biggest, piece of work that we're trying to get our head around is how what form school will take. And I know that we are looking at a hybrid, an in-person schedule for elementary Monday through Thursday, and kind of a hybrid mix for middle school and high school. And we are doing our best to create complementary programming for the youth, both in Virginia City and Montfort if we're able to, so that we have before and after school services. And then on Fridays, when the elementary students do not have access to school, we are hopeful, at least in Virginia City, to provide an all-day elementary program so that they have a place to go, and parents who are working can still go to work, and so on and so forth. So that's really what we're trying to get geared up for and do so safely, just like I know Todd and his crew are doing the same thing. But there's a lot of moving parts. As I'm sure Joe's report also underscored, there's just a lot of moving parts that we're having to account for and get in front of. So we will provide updates as we move forward.
Very good. Thank you, Eric. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Eric?
No, I don't, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric?
No questions, thank you.
All righty, thank you. Thank you, Eric. All right, we'll move over to all things water for fresh water, wastewater. Mike Nevin?
Good morning, Commissioners. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you fine, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Just a couple updates on the two projects we're currently working with, the Hillside Tanks. I'll start there. We did issue the notice to proceed for the construction. As of yesterday, the contractor is moving on site into the staging area right below the water plant. We can expect activity to probably commence next Monday. They'll be doing some survey work and such this week. The work days will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., 5 days a week. So we're excited about finally getting boots on the ground up there and getting this project underway. As a side note, we did finally receive SHPO concurrence as well, and there's been a little bit of a battle with them back and forth with USDA, the National Park Service, but late Friday afternoon, they did finally give us their concurrence, so everybody's on board. That's a good thing. So moving forward. The Goldvale Wastewater Treatment Plant, we're waiting to get the response back from one of the funding entities, that's the State Revolving Fund, NDP. Last week, USDA chimed in. They had a few little minor modifications, basically to the requirement by U.S. on the steel stuff that will be needed for the project. Yesterday, we received the certificate of appropriateness for the building that will go over the top of the treatment plant. It's approved by staff. And it's actually a pretty nice looking building. It's going to blend in nice with the mining facilities around that area. We made some changes to the window and ventilation, but all in all, I think it's going to fit in real nice. We're hoping if we get SRF concurrence that we can get the bid advertised about the middle of the month with a 30-day window, or a three-week window, I'm sorry. Well, hopefully a bid opening sometime early September and then getting it to you folks for concurrence maybe on the 9:15 meeting. So that's where we are on both projects. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike on this project?
No questions for Mike today. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
No, thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for the update, Mike. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Community Development Director and Fire Marshal, Martin Azevedo. Over in our Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I was just wanting to update you on some ongoing projects that we still have. We have the USGS water study in the Highlands that's still ongoing, our water resources plan, and our RS-2477 road plan. We anticipate coming to the board with and the Planning Commission sometime in this fall, probably October, for some of these. Other than that, we've been pretty busy with some project applications, and there is a planning commission meeting this Thursday. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions today, thanks.
Good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
Oh, sure, thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Kathy. All right, over at the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Thank you,
Jennifer. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a couple of quick things. Our seasonal staff continues to do our 30-foot residential surveys for parts of the county. So people see them out there that they're doing, providing information to the residents. Also, we sent a brush engine to Northern California a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, them on the fires, and that same engine ended up on the Hog Fire in Susanville that they've since returned. We've sent an engine to Elko to assist them on some fires, and we continue to help our neighbors and cooperators. We have an engine and our dozer on the North Fire, which we expect them to return back to our home district tonight. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
I don't, Chief. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Chief?
No questions today, thanks.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Chief?
Thank you, sir.
All righty, thanks, Jeff. Our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing that I would note is that there is tentatively scheduled a settlement conference in the Cetus mortgage case on September 14th. tentative at this point, but we're hoping that either Vanessa or the chairman can be present at the settlement conference. We're being represented by Jeff Hardin, and he has requested that one or the two of you be present for that. And that's all I have.
All right. We'll work it out between Vanessa and myself. All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Keith?
Nothing today.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mr. Loomis today?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. Is D.A. Langer on today? I think I missed her last time. County Manager Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple items. As you know, that's been posted. We're going to do an open-air town hall meeting on August 13th from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock at the Highlands mailboxes. This will be one of the series of these. The idea is here people can just kind of come as they go over the hour in order to keep people from grouping up, you know, for COVID-19. Also, the U.S. Census group has asked to join and set up a table there, so we certainly welcome that. So if you have any questions about the census and participating in that, that will also be available. And then we may have some other kind of folks that are joining us as well. I want to congratulate Jim Chapman and her ongoing efforts with public records requests. It's a huge task. She's been doing a great job, and we are compliant with public records. So thank you, Jim. And then last, just kind of a little bit of a legislative update. This is really 100,000 feet with not a lot of detail. I'd be happy to provide any upon request. First, I want to thank, you know, Dagny Stapleton over at NACO and Mary Walker, our lobbyist with Walker Associates, and Steve Walker. Just done a great job in their working and applying it to see their hands with as fast as the special session is going. And I think most of us have seen in the news that the vote by ballot has been approved. The next item is there are substantial right adjustments to peace officers, sheriffs, police, regarding investigations, disciplinary action, and other activities. Another one is it doesn't affect Story County very much, but it certainly does in rural Nevada. Is net proceeds tax of mining proceeds. That would be a constitutional amendment, so there's further action needed on that. And then there's some legislation on liability exemption for businesses and local governments. We are confirming, we do believe that local government and the city would apply here if people were to get sick from COVID-19 and then not be able to go back and sue a grocery store or something for, you know, believing that they got it there. But there is caveats to that regarding compliance with requirements for COVID-19, so we're watching that very closely. And I think most of us saw the governor's speech last night. In a nutshell, really is changing that direction to focused enforcement on not only our individual businesses that comply or don't comply with the requirements of COVID-19 protection, but business sectors are also being looked, as well as counties, cities, and jurisdictions that are allegedly not doing enough to try to prevent COVID-19, and then a bunch of measurement criteria on trying to determine what areas and what sectors of business may or may not be applying with more requirements, shut down, or allowed to operate, et cetera. There's a lot of discussion on city plans to what the jurisdictions are going to do, what businesses are going to do to prevent COVID-19. And then others just regarding county and city efforts for addressing this. So we'll be working as a team on planning for this and making sure that we keep doing what we're doing. Our team has been taking it seriously. We do the social distancing and the face mask and encouraging the local businesses to. Danny and his team have put up some flyers around town that are kind of great. They're bandits with the mask on them. They said, you know, even bandits used to wear masks at social distance. Try to bring a little bit of fun to our tourists and something that's serious and try to get them to go along with this. So thank you for that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
Not today.
Thank you, Jake. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
Okay,
all righty. Thank you. Thank you, Austin. Okay. Story County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning, Vanessa Stevens for the record. I just wanted to follow up a little bit on what Austin had to say about the general election. We're working on the details. We're working with the Secretary of State and the other clerks. I would encourage people, if they have any questions or concerns, to just contact our office and get the accurate information. And we'll be sharing stuff as soon as we have a plan in place. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vanessa. So before we move on, I'm going to ask if I've missed any elected officials, any department heads, or any staff that has anything to say. Hearing none? Very good. We're going to move on to item number 9. These are Bard Camp comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Lance, have you got comments today, sir?
No comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Carmona.
Nothing today, Chairman.
Thank you, Jay. And I, too, have no comments today, so that'll move us right up to item number 10. Which is discussion only. We'll take no action. This will be a presentation by Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District regarding the water supply picture for the Carson River. Good morning, Mr. James. Thanks for attending our meeting.
Good morning. For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. And I'm hoping I can share my screen. If not, I think you may have a copy of my presentation. I can go through that, but it looks like I can share at this point. So what I wanted to do is just give you a brief overview of what's happening in the watershed on the Carson. This is not to talk about your water system directly. If you have questions on your water system, you should talk to your staff. They are much more knowledgeable than I am. But this really just kind of gives you an overview of what's happening in the watershed as a whole. And kind of overview of, kind of what's happening. I'll talk about groundwater levels, groundwater production, municipal water use, stream flow, and workshop that we're proposing to have. So with that, just on the groundwater levels, just generally through the area, most of the groundwater basins are doing pretty good in the Carson watershed. This is something we do keep a tap on to make sure that we don't have groundwater basins being mined for future impacts. We do have a few areas we're watching of concerns. Some of them are like in the Johnson Lane area, if you're familiar with that, Douglas County. We do see the groundwater levels dropping out there. Also, we're having a problem in the Ruinstrut area. We do see water levels dropping there. Most of the rest of Douglas County is looking in pretty good shape. When you get to the Carson City area, it is also looking in very good shape. The groundwater basins are doing, they fluctuate up and down over a period of time. But if you have the presentation, you can see that it's going up again. And one of the things that's happening is Carson City is now pumping less water out of Eagle Valley. They're taking more water from Carson Valley, and so they are not going to have to pull down on Eagle Valley like they have in the past. So we expect to see that basin stay pretty stable. In the Dayton area, they're looking pretty good also. Their water levels are pretty stable going through this. When you get to Story County, again, your area, mostly the Mark Twain, the water levels are doing pretty good there also. We've had some ups and downs. I have one of the slides that show an increase. However, that's just going from 2017 to present. And those have been very wet years, so you would expect the water levels to increase out there. Not a huge amount, but at the Carson area, at least for Story County, your well levels are doing quite well. Stagecoach is seeing some changes going on there, but we're seeing some of the areas actually increasing due to the reduction in water use at the turf farm. We're looking at this closely because this may be a storage site for us in the future. We're doing a study with Loomis right now, a place where we can store water underground and off-channel storage. And Stagecoach is one of the sub-bases we're looking at closely. You're down to Silver Springs.
Same thing we're looking at there. The water levels are bouncing up and down, but again, a good trend that they're not decreasing during wet periods. So we're seeing water levels looking pretty good out there. We got up to the Carson Desert. That is the mostly the Fallon area. I'm looking at the basalt aquifer. The top graph shows the water levels were dropping, but now there's been a recent spring back in the basalt aquifer. I believe mostly it's due to less pumping. This is a trend throughout the entire watershed. We're seeing in the last 10 years that the amount of water actually being produced in the different groundwater basins have been decreasing. And this is a trend you're seeing throughout the entire west area. So again, groundwater production. One of the things I'm showing this, hopefully again you have this slide presentation in front of you. Carson Valley is your biggest groundwater producer. And most of it has to do with irrigation. They have the largest irrigation use. The premium yield, which is kind of general, how much water is available each year to pull out, is about 49,000, and they're pumping on an average about 32. This graph shows the last 5 years that Loomis and Associates have put together. Sometimes I don't believe in this basin that premium yield is probably a good indicator, and I'll talk a little more detail why is that. But you can see basically from this that it's below the premium yield production. Eagle Valley, which is mostly Carson City, it's producing right now on the last 5 years under 5,000 acre feet. The premium yield out there is 4,900, but they have what they call a system yield. And system yield looks at other water issues besides premium yield. Premium yield just takes the general natural recharge you're seeing from Mother Nature. A system yield looks at other parameters, i.e., ash and Kings Canyon that recharge the aquifer. And so this is probably a better indicator of what's happening out there. And in the Dayton area, which Mark Twain is part of, you can see that the water use is under 10,000 acre feet. Premium yield is a fluctuation number between 8 and 20. So, again, most likely you're in good shape and you don't see any drawdowns in the groundwater basin. Churchill Valley is our canary in the watershed. We're watching more closely. This is Silver Springs area. Premium yield out there is only 1,600, but they're currently pumping over 2,500 acre feet a year. The biggest user out there is domestic whales. You don't need a water right for domestic whales, but domestic whales do consume water. And so that's something that we're looking at, how we're going to deal with that issue in the future. Get out to Carson Desert, which is the Churchill County area. You can see the premium yield out there is only 2,500, but they're pumping over 15,000 acre feet a year on average. But they're in good shape because they have the agriculture. Because of the recharge from agriculture, their well levels are not dropping. So again, that's an indication that a premium yield does not really fit in that community. Going to groundwater productions. In Carson Valley, you can see in the graph that water is, you know, basically if it's a dry year, they take more water because agriculture is pumping. And wet years, agriculture does not need as much because they have surface water and don't pump as much. The orange line that goes across is the municipal water use. You note that there's actually been a slight decrease since 2014. What's interesting to note on that, that includes the amount of water going to Carson City. So there's been a community's concerned out there that all this water going to Carson City is having a drawdown on the groundwater aquifer, Carson Valley. That's not the case. They're actually seeing a decrease even with the increased Carson Valley. Eagle Valley, we're seeing it's mostly driven by municipal water use out there. And you can see the trend in water levels are pumping and decreasing because Carson City is pumping less water out of Eagle Valley. In the Dayton Valley, water levels are pretty even. They've been dropping a little bit. We've had some wet years. So there is some agriculture out there. On dry years, there's a lot of supplemental wells. I know that some of the ranches are currently pumping their supplemental wells this year. In the last 3 years, it's been wet, and they've had no need to pump their supplemental wells, and that's why you see a trend dropping.
And then in the Churchill Valley, the Silver Springs area, you can see it bumping back and forth. There is some agriculture out there, but that number is decreasing. And domestic wells are pretty, that's the biggest concern out there in that community. We do not have, this is all data taken from the state engineers, data from the pumping report, and we do not have one for the Churchill County area. When we talk about municipal water use, so I'm going to be showing you is actually community water system usage. This is prepared by Loomis & Associates, who's doing a study for us. And just kind of give you an overview of the connections by the major water purveyors in our watershed. Story County is included in this. And then they also look at the acre per connections. And this is just kind of a general overview. You'll see that the average in our watershed is about 0.6 acre feet per annual per connections. And Story County is running about 0.36. This is kind of a misleading number because if you have a community that has a lot of parks or schools or a lot of green belts, that water production is included in this. And so you may see some higher numbers there, but you may have more parks and schools taking water. So you take it with a grain of salt, but this kind of gives you an overview of what's happening in the watershed. This next slide just shows you deliveries from the Marlet Hobart Water System to Virginia City, Goldville, and Silver City. It's not a continuous record, but you start off in 1961, you can see where the water went, and then in the 1990s, water went up, and then fairly stable. So you really have not seen a huge demand increase of water usage in the Story County area. Next is stream flow along the Carson River. This was, again, the next slide was work done by Loomis, looking at historic water usage or water in stream flows in the Carson. And what they did is they looked at the West Fork at Woodford and the East Fork near Gardnerville. We look at these closely because this is basically natural flow, what Mother Nature provides us. There's very little upstream human impact going on above those. And you can see over the, since 1940 to 2018, that on West Fork, we're seeing a slight decrease in flows of almost 8%. And then on the East Fork, we're seeing about a 4% decrease. And if you combine the two together, it's just under 5% decrease. So what basically is telling us Mother Nature is giving us a little less water in this period of time than we have historically. If you now look at a comparison of the Carson gauge and Carson City, this is what's happening through Carson Valley. And you're seeing a decrease occurring through there, almost 9%. So a larger change than what we saw in the upper watershed. So something is happening to Carson Valley because this is, again, looking at getting the record to the current period of time. And then when you get down to Fort Churchill, you're seeing actually the decrease is dropping to about 3.5, 3.25 less. You'll see a note there that says this is not statistically significant at Fort Churchill. We're not getting the real good numbers. One of the things at Fort Churchill is historically, a lot of times the river would go bone dry and you can't go below zero. But we've had some wetter years in the last 20 years, and so you're seeing these higher trends going in at the Fort Churchill. So that's why we're seeing that the statistics are not holding up like we have the rest of the watershed. My next couple slides are just showing what's happening, changes through the flows of the river. This is Carson City gauge minus what's happening at the East West Fork. And then I have a 10-year running trend. And what's interesting is you see even in the last, since 2000s forward, a big significant change in what's happening there. We're still not sure why this is occurring. It's not really due to all the groundwater pumping, because we're not seeing those significance. So we're really thinking that it has to do with
irrigation that's occurring in Carson Valley. And so we're looking at this more closely, but we don't have any answer to why that trend's going on there. If you move down and do the same thing with Fort Churchill minus the Carson City Gate, you're not seeing that impact in the lower in the 2000 forward. Historically, there was a lot more agriculture being diverted to water, and we're not seeing that. Those ditches are now taking less water. We're going through that record. So we're not seeing that trend that's going through Carson Valley impacting down at Fort Churchill, which is important to understand because the people in Churchill County are very concerned of what's happening upstream because their supply of water really comes from the river. And if there's a lot of groundwater interaction and pumping of water that's reducing flows on the Carson, that's a direct impact to the people in Churchill County. So they're watching this closely, and we are too. The next slide just shows you some of the diversions that we got from the Federal Water Master. We don't see a lot of trends. Even though the records go back beyond 2001, there's just real inconsistency in that record set. And the other problem in the upper Carson is that they don't measure but 20% of the ditches. So there's still a lot of gaps in there that we're trying to figure out. In the lower Carson, they do measure all the ditches. And so you see here a trend of about 20,000 acre foot over a period of time from 1978 to the present. In fact, this data set is being evaluated. We found a lot of gaps in the data. And so we're trying to fill back in those gaps. And as soon as we have a much better data set, we'll have new numbers. But what we're kind of seeing now is this reduction in irrigation in Lyon County is higher than what this trend line is showing today. The last one is the Carson River Workshop. We're looking at funding on a workshop in October. Bringing in experts from around the area. We have people from the USGS and the Department of Water Resources. There are some of the speakers. They're going to go over some of the work that's being done in the Carson River, but also some of the work that's going on within the state. We know that there are several studies going on, like IE on the Humboldt River. The USGS is working closely with the state engineer, looking at impacts to groundwater upstream of Lovelock. Lovelock has been very concerned that there's all this groundwater pumping upstream that's impacting their flow, and Lovelock has senior rights to these groundwater users. And so the state engineers have been working on that. This could have some impacts on managing that groundwater or that water basin, and there could be some ramifications on the Carson. So we are watching that closely. It also has an index on the Truckee and also on the Walker. So these are things we're bringing forward. This will be a virtual meeting. We're trying to figure out how to do this. We're hoping to have it in person, but we just cannot do that. And it will be open to the public, so anyone who's interested, and we will send you more information. So elected officials or anyone who wants to sit in on this, it will be some good information, and it should also give you some insight of what may be happening on your other watersheds, especially on the Truckee. So that's it. I apologize that I couldn't go through my slide with you, but hopefully you had those. If there's any questions, I'm on the answer this time.
Thank you, Ed. I don't have any questions, but I'll ask my colleagues here if they do. Thank you for your presentation. There's a lot of information there to digest. So, a lot going on with the water system on the Carson River. So, Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Harris?
Not at this time, but I do want to thank you for virtually being here and put the presentation on. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mr. James?
No questions. Thank you, Mark. No?
All right. I'll go to our county manager, Mr. Osborne, because I think you've served on that board with Mr. James, have you not?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't, for the most part, other than Ed's been involved in a lot of the data he's talking about will be used in our Story County Water Master Plan, and Captain's been serving on that board, too, and that's all I have. But thank you, Ed, for joining us again. It's good to see you.
Good seeing you.
Yeah, thanks, Ed, and I hope that maybe the next time we see you, maybe it's in person also. Because
that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. All righty, we're going to move on now to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of Story County to grant up to $200,000 of its CARES Act funds to small businesses located in Story County and adversely affected, adversely impacted by COVID-19. With an additional 5%, roughly $10,000 of this amount being dedicated to administration costs, including assistance from the Nevada Association of Counties, also known as NACO, and or its affiliates, a total combination of being up to $210,000. As it's mentioned in here, it's roughly 5%. It could be 6%. NACO is still trying to iron this all out. So I'll just I'll turn this over to Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to note that our Community Relations Director, Laura Mathers, with us, Jennifer McCain from the Comptroller's Office, and Keith Loomis. All of us have been working on this with Danny, and so I certainly welcome at any moment to chime in or discuss some of the elements of this. As you're aware, the county has received about $750,000 in CARES funds, or about half of that is actually received, and then there's a reimbursable portion for the remainder. You know, this covers things like to recover our costs for PPE and overtime that is related to COVID and materials and those sorts of matters. We are allowed to dedicate a portion of this money to directly invest into our local community for small business assistance. And so that's what we're asking the board to do at this point, is that we would look at $200,000 to be invested in the small business. There's about a 5 to 6% administration fee that is going to be used by a group that the Nevada Association of Counties is using to administer the program, and they'll have some experts that will be able to help us take the money and work with those local businesses, build applications, build processes, criteria for eligibility, those sorts of things to do this correctly to the best benefit of our community. And we're working with all of those people I just mentioned in April. Now, and so there's a potential for more in the future, but right now this is what we know is available, and we'll take the next step next. And this is just a request to authorize this. The language that you see here is for $200,000. That still remains the same. The 5% administration is actually going to probably be about 6%. So instead of $10,000, it might just be about $12,000 that would go to that. I do want to make sure for clarification that this is $200,000 going to the community. Additionally, $12,000 will go to administration. Administration will not cut into the $200,000. So I welcome anyone else to speak. Any other questions that are heard? And there's a motion here. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Austin. Laura, did you want to weigh in?
I don't have anything additional to add, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer, do you have any comments or any statements to make?
No, I think Austin covered it pretty thoroughly. I think this is a great opportunity for us to get some money out to the people who have probably been hit hardest by this. So,
all right.
All I have to add.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. I think I'd like to add to this too, because I've been on these conference calls as well with the whole team. And it seems like the other counties in Nevada are doing the same thing. Our allocation of COVID funds, this CARES fund of $750,000, we don't expect that the county is going to need to utilize all of those funds for PPE and other related items related to this pandemic. And so it's been suggested by NACO and the other counties, instead of turning this money back to the federal government, which nobody wants to do, is to go ahead and help out our local communities, the businesses within our communities, for those who have gone through some really rough times with the shutdown of their businesses, you know, for the longest periods of time. And so as Austin pointed out, NACO, we're working with them to coordinate it. It'd be an independent contractor who would actually go ahead and do the management on this, because you know, we kind of take the county away from it, so the people wouldn't maybe accuse us of picking winners and losers. That wouldn't be our intention whatsoever. We wanted everybody to have a fair shake. But there will be rules that will be put into place. And it's already active in Clark County right now. They were the first county to go live. And the company, the independent contractor who's facilitating that also has contracts with the county of Long Beach and others where they're already up and running doing this. So Dagny's been wonderful down at NACO. Go ahead and coordinating this with all of us. And when we do have these conference calls, it's every county who's interested in participating in this, we're all on a Zoom meeting just like we are right now. So there's a lot of questions, and sometimes it takes a while to get back with the answer, but we're meeting at least on a weekly basis to get to the, to get the answers we need to and to work our way down. So anyway, I'm go ahead and open it up now for any questions or comments from Commissioner Carmona.
Thanks, Chairman. I don't really have too many questions. I just did want to say that amidst all the bad news we've had for months, I'm glad to see that something is at least going back to the community or the merchants. Of course, PPE isn't fun to spend money on, but it is necessary. So, I'm glad to see this finally moving forward.
Yeah, you're right, because any of those people that had to make adjustments to their operation and their businesses that are all, COVID-19 related with PPP equipment, or if they had to put up barriers or whatever it takes, that would make them qualifiers for this. So, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments, sir?
No, sir. I'm just grateful that we've had the opportunity to assist all the folks there that have truly been suffering the last few months. And my only request is that we expedite. So many things that get wrapped up in government seem to drag on for a long period of time. I'm sure that help is needed, and I hope we can aggressively move the ball forward.
Yeah, you're right, Lance, and that's it. It's been the comments that have been made during these meetings is to do this expeditiously and not drag our feet on it, because I can't remember exactly what the time frame is, but we do have to act on this in an expeditious way so that we don't lose the funds. And Austin, you want to weigh in on if you remember exactly the time frame on this?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Laura may correct me. I think September 1st is when we have to have this thing move along with a plan. It is expeditious in this on both first and second. And I want to make it clear, too, this is not a loan that has to be repaid back or anything like that. It would be a grant for the businesses to keep.
Okay. Thank you. So at this time, I'll go ahead and open it up for any public comment. If anybody would like to make any public comment, please speak clearly, identify yourself, and please make this comments only. This isn't a workshop, so it's not a question and answer session. So please go ahead, anybody who would like to make a public comment. Okay, hearing none, if I can go ahead and I'll call on Commissioner Carmona, if you'd motion to go ahead and approve this allocation.
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I interject?
Go right ahead, Austin.
All right, I'd like to keep to make sure we're doing it right, but I would just ask that motion include that with an additional 6%, roughly $12,000, everything was the same. Thank you.
That's fine, and I would add that one thing that I looked at the conditions on the loan or the money, and it requires that the money be spent before December 30th, or can reimburse the costs incurred due to COVID up through December 30th.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification there, Mr. Loomis. All right. I'll go back to Commissioner Carmona.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Motion to approve Story County to grant up to $200,000 of its CARES Act funds to small businesses located in Story County and adversely impacted by COVID-19 with an additional 6%, roughly $12,000 of this amount, being dedicated to administration costs, including assistance from the Nevada Association of Counties
and or its affiliates, a total combined amount being up to $212,000.
Very good.
I'll second your committee.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We'll move on now to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Possible approval to authorize the county manager to approve a monthly contract with QuickSpace for temporary security fencing around the V&T Freight Depot building during the construction activities in the amount not to exceed $12,000 per month for up to 6 months. Is Mr. Northang going to handle this?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is the Senate's to just authorize the expenditure for some temporary security fencing around the depot as a typical means of securing the job site during some construction activities. Those activities are going to include fire sprinklers, associated structural work, and also a fire detection, alarm, and notification system. We did get quotes for this fencing. The best quote we got is from QuickSpace. We anticipate we'll need this fence for not more than 6 months.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
Just some clarification on the cost of the fencing. Is it $1,200 a month or $12,000?
It is $1,200 per month. And that constitutes approximately 600 linear feet of chain link type fencing.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. This time I'll open up. Is there any public comment regarding this action item? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Move to approve the monthly contract with QuickSpace for temporary security fencing around the B&T Freight Depot building during the construction activities in the amount not to exceed $1,200 per month for up to 6 months.
Second to motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of award and authorization for the county manager to sign Emergency Management Performance Grant Program, COVID-19 Supplemental, EMPG-S, in the amount of $20,003.65. Ms. Mather.
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather, Communications Coordinator. This grant is one of the first grants that came out after the pandemic started. Is a supplemental grant. It's typically a matching grant. So it would normally be a grant of $10,001.83 with a required match of $10,001.83. However, in this case, the grant match will be covered by the State Department of Emergency Management. So there's no out-of-pocket cost to Story County. We applied for the grant for basically five complete remote workstations. That includes everything from the computer to a printer all the way down to the mouse, some programming. In addition, we applied for cameras and some equipment that will help us through these wonderful Zoom meetings, like headsets and microphones. So even though it is not a matching grant, it does require the commissioners to approve the grant award being signed by County Manager Osborne.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Laura?
Not currently.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
No, thank you.
Very good. We'll open up for public comment. Not hearing any comment out there, but going back to this, I think as we recall when COVID-19 first struck and we had to shut all the offices down and everything, to find enough equipment for everybody to go ahead and communicate was a little bit difficult. We're finding old laptops that had Vista on it or I don't know, professional seven, all of the things that aren't compatible or capable of handling what we need to do today. So it's good that we're able to go ahead and have the be able to acquire the new equipment that's required and needed and is being paid for out of the grant program. So thank you for that.
If I can also add, Commissioner, that we still do have staff working remotely, so it is still a much needed equipment.
Absolutely. I know it's helping to bring us into the 21st century. All right, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Be happy to. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve and authorize Austin Osborne, County Manager, to sign the Grant Award for Emergency Management and Performance Grant Program, COVID-19 Supplemental, in the amount of $20,003.65.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. On item 15, we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us up to item 16. Discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of authorization for Chairman McBride to sign the Sherman and Howard Bond Council engagement letters for the USDA water projects, 5 mile water line and water tanks, for an amount not to exceed $30,000. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that Jennifer McCain, our comptroller, is going to speak to this one.
Oh, okay. Ms. McCain?
Yes, I'm prepared for that, Chairman. We've dealt with Kendra at Sherman and Howard for several of our past bonds, and she's very helpful in making sure that we dot all our I's and cross our T's and have no problems at the end getting these bonds funded. To finish these two projects, the 5 mile water line and the water tank, we have 3 bonds, which she is prepared to roll the closing help that she's going to give us all into one grouping, so there's one engagement letter. We do have an addendum in the water revenue bonds for the current bond that you just approved in the last meeting or two to be able to actually finish up both projects.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not today, thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, sir.
All right, I'll go ahead and open up for public comment regarding this action item. Hearing none, Mr. Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve and authorize Chairman McBride to sign the Sherman and Howard Bond Council engagement letters for the USDA water project for an amount not to exceed $30,000.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. This brings us on to item number 17, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of authorization for Chairman McBride to sign the Sherman and Howard Bond Council engagement letter for the USDA sewer projects of Gold Hill Package Treatment Plant for an amount not to exceed $30,000. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer regarding this item?
I do not, sir.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer regarding this item?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I'll open up for public comment regarding this item. Okay. Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve and authorize Chairman McBride to sign Sherman and Howard Bond Council engagement letters for the USDA sewer projects for an amount not to exceed $30,000.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Yeah, it's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. As we get there, one more step closer to finalizing these water sewer projects. Item 18 is to recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and to reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Possible acceptance of bid and award of contract for the Divide Building Justice Court tenant improvement to the apparent low bidder, Sheehan Beachcomp Builders, in the amount of $5,082,000 as a base bid plus contract alternates for a total sum of $733,738. Mr. Northam, are you going to take lead on this?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. On July 22, we received bids for the tenant improvement work at the Divide Building for the Justice Court. This was a very successful bid. We're very happy with the numbers we got. We had seven general contractors that submitted responsive bids. Base bids ranged from $582,000 up to $725,000 with an average of $644,000. The bids were structured in such that some parts of the work were broken out as bid alternates. And according to guidance from State Public Works, we can award on the base bid alone and then add any alternates until we hit a budget limit, or we can award based on the base bid plus the alternate in any combination. Either way, Shaheen Beecham Builders of Carson City was the apparent low bidder. They are the guys who built the community center over by the swimming pool. And by all accounts, that was a very successful project. So staff recommends that we accept their bid and award the contract to Shaheen Beecham Builders.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
Not at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike? I think you still are mute there.
I'm sorry, no questions.
Okay, thank you, Lance. Austin, would you like to weigh in on this?
I know, I think Mike really explained it well, so I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you,
Mr. Okay, very good. I don't have any questions currently. I'll open it up for public comment. Who would like to speak on this action item of the Divide Building Justice Court remodel?
Hi, Marshall. Paul Barnes, Green Lane resident. Do we have a total for the entire effort yet, which includes engineering plans as well as the full cost of the build-out at the end of this one when there's moving in?
Chairman,
if I may, this is Jennifer McKean.
Jump right in there, Jennifer.
Currently, using the rough estimate that I received several weeks ago of $750,000 to complete the remodeling, this project will be up to approximately $2.2 million. That includes the purchase of the building, the parking lots, the sidewalks, and the engineering and architecture drawings that we need to proceed.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And follow-up question, who are we moving in there besides the Justice Court?
We're only moving Justice Court in there.
Is there room for other departments?
Maybe down the road.
Will that require more money to augment the space, or are we completely augmenting the space with this $750K?
We are only utilizing the building where MX Trophies once was. Divide Fitness still occupies a portion of the building.
Okay, so they will occupy what percent of the building and then we get, I'm just trying to think down the road. We've got compression in our departments. Where are we going to put those departments?
Well, we don't have that on the, we don't have what we're going to do in the future on the agenda today, Nicole. Is there additional public comment?
Marshall Sam Tolgold Hill, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you. Bid, does it specify or do we have an anticipated move-in date?
I'll ask Mr. Northam. I don't know. Go ahead. Mike?
Under the contract, we are allowing them 180 days for construction.
Thank you, Mr. Norton. Do you have any feel for past that? Once they've painted their last bit of trim, what the time frame?
Okay, we're getting off track here. We're simply approving a bid today.
Okay,
so
then in that case, since we don't know when we're going to move in,
Cam, I tried to explain before that this isn't a question and answer segment. This is a public comment segment. You can make whatever comment you want to up to 3 minutes. But if you wanted questions of these answers, you've had the agenda for 5 days and you could have made a phone call and asked all these questions instead of grandstanding on the Zoom broadcast today.
I'm sorry you consider public comment grandstanding.
It's not public comment. It's not question. You're playing it into question and answer. So please give it up. Is there any additional public comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to finish my public comment by saying it's pretty frustrating to not have information being provided in a public forum. But if that's the way we're in your business, thank you, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Toll. Additional public comment. Okay, hearing no additional comments, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve the bid award?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to accept the bid and award the contract for the Divide Building Justice Court tenant improvement to the apparent lowest bidder, Shane Beauchamp Builders, in the amount of $582,000 as a base bid plus contract alternates for a total of $733,738.
Thank you.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations to Sheehan Beauchamp Builders. We'll get going on that. Moving along now to item number 20. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of business license second readings. These are A through F. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Community Development recommends approval of all the business licenses that you see from A through F.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Is there any public comment regarding these business license second readings? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading of business licenses A through F.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
It's been moved to second to approve all business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 21. This is public comment. Those wishing to make public comment, please speak up. Speak clearly, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have public comment today?
Hi, this is Nicole Martin, Stewart County resident. I'd like to give a shout out to Ashley in the building department. I was asked to provide a plot map for my property transaction that I'm doing, and I couldn't put my hand on it. I emailed Ashley, probably can't remember the time. And she said that it wasn't online, but that she would look. I got that thing back within a 3 to 4 hour time frame on the day I asked for it. I'm sure that she had to go manually look for it, but that quickness and turnaround was just amazing to me, and it made all the difference in the transaction that I was engaged in. So, again, a public thank you to Ashley in the building department.
That's good to know, and I'm sure she appreciates the compliment. Thank you. All right. Additional public comment.
Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Story County lost a wonderful person over the weekend. Paul Syrak passed away from illness, and Paul was a great guy. He moved here, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago from Boston. Nevada native, was involved in the newspaper and communication business throughout his lifetime. He and his wife, Maxine Syrak, pushed a couple of kids through the Story County school system, and they are contributing nicely to our society in Reno and Seattle. Paul was a dear friend of mine and a great friend to those who knew him, and I just wanted to give him a moment of the public's, or the moment in this meeting. Moving on to Austin's praise of Jen Chapman, it has been a delight to work with Jen on public records requests. She appears to be pushing forward in her efforts to clear out the backlog. Sadly, I do have about 30 open public records requests, some from 2 years ago. I'm going to give Austin and Jen one more chance to take a look at those, see if we can collaborate on delivering that information before I hire my attorney to sue Story County under the freshly minted set of teeth in SB 287 that the legislature approved in the last session. I welcome Austin's and Jen's efforts to try and get these done, but frankly, I added up the cumulative days that have passed. I've got, right now it's 24.7 years of time that's elapsed on these public records requests. So, you know, frankly, if Mr. Carmona's statement of spending $100,000 a year is accurate, that's two full-time people working nonstop on nothing but public records requests, and y'all have had enough time. So, Austin, look forward to a phone call from me, and thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you. All right, continue on. Additional public comment. Going once, going twice, see you in 2 weeks.